Welcome inside Appalachia. I'm Jessica Lilly.
To us, it was about making the invisible visible, or giving voice to a previously muted or silenced voice.
That's Frank X. Walker, a Kentucky native who teaches at the University of Kentucky, when he spoke during the 39th annual Appalachian Studies Association conference held earlier this year at Shepherd University.
A white man walked up to my booth and announced that he'd been looking at his map all day and didn't see no Appalachia nowhere. I smiled, considered my many optional responses, and asked him if he'd been using a black and white map or a full color map. When he responded with, "Black and white, I reckon," I said, "Well, that's the problem. You need a colored map to see Appalachia."
Walker said the man walked away, scratching his head, still not sure how to find Appalachia. Now, while you can't find it on a literal map, Walker's first poetry collection called Appalachia promotes the idea of Appalachia as both a physical and spiritual place that was previously undefined and unrealized. And finding Appalachia, or rather, reclaiming Appalachia, that's what Walker spoke about to a packed auditorium.
And other than farming and the railroad, coal mining is what sustains our people in the mountains. Black people in the mountains are like diamonds because our culture is so rich.
Cabell also told Walker that black diamonds is a phrase that sometimes refers to black coal miners. Another Appalachian poet has used the term black diamonds in her writing. Her name is Crystal Good.
Black diamonds, black diamonds, black diamonds. Black diamond, black diamond, black diamond, black diamond.
That's Good singing a piece of one of her poems, What You Know About Black Diamonds, put to music with the help of a band called Flukem. On today's show, we're talking about identity and the misconception that all Appalachians are white and one group's journey to claim their identity. We learned that the partial root of this idea comes in the definition of Appalachia used in a 1991 edition of Webster's Dictionary. Appalachian poet Crystal Good is a native of St. Albans in West Virginia's Chemical Valley. Good writes about race and cultural identity in Appalachia, and about how the national media portrays Appalachians with negative stereotypes. These topics can be considered social justice issues, so Good was a good fit for the Appalachian poets group. Right after the 2014 election, Good shared a poem she'd written about racism and Appalachian culture called Appalachian Blackface. She says she wrote the poem to show connections she sees between blackface performers of the 1800s and today's political leaders. Let's listen to her reading an excerpt of this poem and giving her interpretation. The poem was performed at the 2014 Summit on Race Matters, and the rest of the interview was recorded in our Charleston studio. A warning, this poem contains language that some people may consider offensive.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you a story. According to a new race they called coal.
That was Appalachian poet Crystal Good talking about her 2014 poem, Appalachian Blackface. So 2 years have gone by, and we wanted to check back in with Good to find out how she feels about that poem now, and about how politics in Appalachia are so deeply rooted in coal. President-elect Donald Trump has promised to bring back coal jobs, and he wants support in all 55 counties in West Virginia. A higher percentage of voters supported Donald Trump in West Virginia than in any other state, according to a national vote tracker. Meanwhile, West Virginia's only billionaire, business owner Jim Justice, was elected the state's new governor. Justice owns coal mines in several states and the prestigious Greenbrier Hotel in West Virginia. Trump spoke about bringing back coal and coal jobs, while supporters at his rallies were often shown on national media outlets to be hostile and violent. So Crystal Good, as an African-American, was a little hesitant to attend a Trump rally. But what she saw surprised her. Good spoke with their producer, Roxy Todd, about her experience at the rally and how coal has reemerged as a political theme in the most recent election.
I frame it this way. But my experience there was not scary. And as a fact, people were really nice and polite and kind and considerate and conversation and, you know, all of those things And then I left thinking, feeling kind of bad that I went in with reservations. And I went in wondering how I was going to be treated or what I was going to hear. And then I had to think, these are West Virginia people, you know? This is my state, you know?
Good is a self-proclaimed West Virginia senator of social media. She owns a social media and marketing consulting business, and during the legislative session, she also advocates for various issues at the state capitol, including efforts to develop industrial hemp in West Virginia. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hear Crystal Good talk more about how she feels about the way the media has portrayed West Virginians during and in the month since the 2016 election, and how she feels about how the conversation around race and racism in West Virginia that's traveled around the globe throughout the 2016 presidential campaign. You're Inside Appalachia. I'm Jessica Lilly. Today we're learning more about the Afrolachian Poets, a group of authors who write about social justice. We've been hearing from one of the Afrolachian Poets, Crystal Good, and one of her social justice platforms, racism. And contrary to what we may see in the media and what Webster's Dictionary used to say, not all Appalachians are white. According to a report by the Appalachian Regional Commission, more than 17% of Appalachian residents identified with a racial or ethnic minority group between 2010 and 2014. The statistics break down like this. More than 9% of the Appalachian population is black, and more than 4% is Hispanic or Latino. And while it is true that here in Appalachia, we have our issues with racism, the media seems to have jumped with alarming eagerness at the opportunity to once again show the racism exists here. Take, for instance, the incident last month when a Clay County Economic Development Coordinator posted a racist remark about Michelle Obama on Facebook. The woman, Pamela Taylor, was temporarily suspended from her job, and the Clay mayor resigned following a public outcry. Afrolachian poet Crystal Good says she thinks it's good that stories like these are told, but they shouldn't be all that West Virginia is known for.
When the news came out about the woman in Clay County.
On today's show, we've been talking about the Appalachian identity. We're often painted with a broad brush and seen as only white. We learned that Afrolachians, an African American who is native to or resides in Appalachia, not only have a presence in the region, but continue to leave a mark on Appalachian and American history. Next, let's hear from a woman who's known as the West Virginia First Lady of Gospel Music. Ethel Caffey Austin grew up in the coalfields of Mount Hope, West Virginia, where she was inspired by her choir teacher and got her start in music through church. She made her debut at the Kennedy Center in Women of Gospel, a musical review of great African-American female gospel music singers, in February 1991. In 2001, Appleshop's Ann Lewis and Mimi Pickering produced a 30-minute film about Caffey Austin called His Eye is on the Sparrow. Let's listen now to an excerpt from the film, beginning with Austin singing, My Heavenly Father Watches Over Me.
I know He cares for me.
At the beginning of the show, we heard from Frank X. Walker, Crystal Good, and Crystal Wilkinson. Each are part of the group, the Afrolachian Poets. The group is made up of writers with Appalachian connections that write about social justice. While the Afrolachian Poets is a formal group that helps to shine a spotlight on social justice issues through the work of minority poets, writers, and authors from Appalachia, there are poets all around who might not find their way into the spotlight. The voices shared in an informal setting can be just as powerful and inspirational as those in a formal group. After all, it's not always easy to find an open mic night in places like McDowell County, West Virginia. So I wanted to reach out to a young African-American who grew up in Appalachia and share a story of what I thought would be an ordinary Afrolachian family. One of my former students, James Riley, invited me into his childhood home in McDowell County to meet his family, including his mother. He says it was his mom who influenced his decision to go to college, and as I found out, Paula Riley Thomas is also a bit of a poet herself.
Can't say enough about him. That's my life.
There's a lot of places that it seems like you could have lost hope.
Oh, yes. Because I've been raped several times when I was in D.C. I can't tell you how good God has been to me. I should have been dead a long time ago. But with God, I was meant to be here. My son, he saved my life. Anytime I was ready to give up, I never wanted to leave him alone.
Paula says the first rape happened years before James was born. Ever since then, she didn't feel clean. But she kept her faith and remembered what she learned in church, that Jesus loves her. The Son of God, according to the Christian theology. And when she had her own son, it brought an inexplicable joy, strength, and desire to live. She writes about the day James was born in a poem called Colors of Life and Love.
And in remembrance of my Heavenly Father, it's the color of red.
That was Paula Riley Thomas from McDowell County reading her poem called Colors of Life and Love. Paula wrote this shortly after she moved back to McDowell County in 1993. And while she's not in the formal Afro-Latin Poets group, she is an Afro-Latin poet. As we close the show, we wanted to mention some news from Appalachia. Ken Heckler, longtime congressman and former West Virginia Secretary of State, World War II veteran, and author of The Bridge at Remagen, has died. Heckler served in Congress from 1959 to 1977 and became an advocate for coal mine health and safety and environmental protection. Heckler was also the only congressman to march with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma, Alabama. He was 102.
Just ordinary people, God uses ordinary people. He uses people just like you and me, who are willing to do as He commands. He uses people that will give their all. It doesn't matter how small their all might seem to you. Little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand.
We've talked a lot on our show today about our identity and the perception of what it means to be Appalachian. Everyone has prejudices and biases based on our own realities. We often limit ourselves to the idea that another person doesn't deserve a voice or an identity because they look different, think different, or even have a different political view. But if you spend some time with folks of differing opinions, you will learn something. Do you have to be tolerant of folks who don't seem to listen to you? Well, I say, if you're around people who constantly want to tell you why you're wrong and don't have the time to hear your voice and understand where you're coming from without judgment, then, well, maybe you do need a change of friends. But only for a time. Don't give up on them. And if you truly believe that there is good in this world, that people are generally good, then perhaps you will find the patience to stay on the journey toward understanding, more happiness, and more peace, even as we fight for our own identities. So, keep telling your story, keep telling the truth, and sharing your reality, even if you think no one is listening. Till next week, thanks for joining me as we journey throughout Appalachia.